Welcome back to Homo in Le Training. I am JDIA, and we're a variety show. Changes topics every week, and this week you're here for some science. And today, this episode might be coming out on time, so that's good. Your boy is like on top of things, you know, making things work with the anxiety and whatnot. But today we're going to be talking about antimatter. I think that this new season, as we kind of just already started, premiered our new season, like, earlier. I kind of want my science episodes to now be revolved more around biology, so I'm going to start focusing a lot more on things with our body, things in our body, because, like, I've done space, obviously, and I've done, like, I think I did do, like, biology, but it was more, like, plants and, like, things like that. I have to look back at my episodes, but, like, I don't remember, like, ever talking about the heart, bitch, like, fucking hemoglobin, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know if I've ever really talked about that. I mean, I kind of mentioned the mitochondria, but I don't know. But I think it's going to focus more on that because I've just been, like, doing a lot of research about certain, like, evolutionical things in our bodies, and I'm kind of, like, really into it. So definitely want to point that out and show exactly what's going on inside of our bodies, because they're very interesting and they're hot. They're like fucking 98 degrees. It's hot. But I always wanted to talk about antimatter because I don't know if people really know about it, but, like, I want to talk about when was it discovered, what exactly is it, like, physically, what is it, how much it costs, and how we make it. So let's just fucking get into it. Okay. So back in the early 20th century, that's like the fucking 1900s, we discovered something called antimatter. Well, it wasn't really called that back then, but that's what we call it now. In 1928, some physicist named Paul Dirac from the UK discovered it in fucking math. Like, what the fuck? And I, like, looked up his age and stuff. He was 26. Like, bitch, how are you 26 discovering antimatter? In the fucking 1920s, girl, like, what? And he was a mathematician, you know, he was, like, doing his little math, his little 1+1. And then he came up with, like, an equation to describe how particles, like electrons, behave when they're traveling at the speed of light. So, you know, he was doing his thing, you know, 1+1, and saw that this little equation had two solutions. Which, like, for anyone who doesn't know math, aka me, that really doesn't make sense. But I saw a video that kind of described it as the square root of 4 can be 2 or negative 2. And I kind of remember that. But also, like, bitch, I have not done square roots since I was in high school, bitch. So I don't fucking know nothing about math. But apparently, in math, there can be more than one solution when it comes to a problem. And in this case, when he was doing it, he saw that the equation was saying that there was a possibility for an electron, which is normally negative, to have a positive charge. And, like, obviously in the real world, we've never seen that before. So instead of, like, sharing his idea, you know, he was, like, kind of a pussy and it kept it to himself and was just like, I'm just not going to say nothing because, you know, maybe this is, like, a math error. Like, who knows, bitch. And, like, after 3 years, I guess he's finally like, okay, like, bitch, like, here's something. Like, I don't know. Like, apparently the square root of 4 is 2 and negative 2. So I don't know what the fuck this negative 2 is coming from, but here you go. So in this little equation, the anti-electron had the same mass, same spin as the normal electron, but it just had a positive charge. And electrons, like I said earlier, typically have a negative charge. And Dirac also found out that even the protons had an opposite charge. And protons are typically positive, and these were negative. And even smaller than that, bitch, we have something called quarks, which make up protons. So I'm not going to get into it because, like, back in the day, I think, like, the word atom I think I mentioned it in an earlier episode. I did talk about atoms in an earlier episode. Make sure you look it up. But I talked about how the word atom came from Greek or something, and the word itself meant like you just like the smallest thing like cannot be divisible. Like I think is what something like that, bitch. Like fucking it was fucking zero. So they used to think that atoms were the smallest particles that we had in the world. You know that there's nothing smaller than an atom. Well, bitch, apparently there is, all right? And apparently they're called quarks. And then there's up quarks, down quarks, and there's these positive and negative quarks inside of protons, I guess, bitch. I don't fucking know. Well, I mean, I kind of do know, but I don't know enough to explain it. But pretty much even those were opposite in the equation. Okay, I'm not saying that we saw this in person. Like, this is all in the math. That's what it was saying. So pretty much, you know, when you put all of those things together, that's how you get an anti-atom, right? You get all the antis all together and it makes an atom that is completely opposite from regular ones. So because this was like all in math and stuff, this all in the equation, we never actually saw anything yet. And of course, this was back in the old timey days. But just a couple years later, only 4 years later, in 1932, some bitch named Carl Anderson took a picture of the world's first anti-electron, which was really cool. And he like published a paper and all this stuff, and he called it a positron. Antimatter wasn't really coined until like in the later years. So when we think about a positive electron, they're going to call it a positron. But yeah, he took a picture of it, and the picture is just like an electron racing through this like bubble chamber, and you know, they measured it and it had the exact same mass as a normal electron, but it had a positive charge. So, bitch, not only a few years before this fucking Dirac guy is out here fucking mathing anti-shit, now we actually get visual confirmation of this. So, you might be thinking, great. Why can't we just like harvest this like dark matter for a new weapon? Or why can't we just use antimatter to travel through space or something, right? Because I try to also look up when antimatter was included into pop culture vernacular, but that's a very specific question. So obviously Google couldn't really give me the answers to that. So I can't really tell you, but I know that a lot of sci-fi stuff, they always throw in antimatter. It's always antimatter reactor this, antimatter fucking spacesuit this, like antimatter wormhole, bitch. Like, I don't know. There's all this different stuff that you can do with it. But in real life, what ends up happening is when antimatter interacts with normal matter, they explode. And that makes it really hard to have it in a gun, because a gun is matter. And in air, there are air molecules, you know, that's matter. That's like real stuff. So anything that you see, touch, smell, fucking think, bitch, that's matter. So if antimatter gets even close to it, they annihilate each other. So, but the real question is, where the fuck is all the antimatter in the universe? Because if matter and antimatter annihilate each other, then why do we even have matter in the first place? Well, who knows? You know, to be honest, scientists can't figure it out. And it's really hard to explain, because some people think that some people like to think that antimatter maybe got separated or escaped our universe during the Big Bang and might still be there, you know, it's hiding somewhere with its own anti-planets, anti-stars, anti-galaxies, bitch, anti-people, you know, like that's probably where the fucking aliens from Florida came from. But all of this antimatter that should have been here in the beginning, we don't really know where it's at or if it's even alive. Bitch, I mean, it's not fucking alive, but you know what I mean. Scientists think that in the beginning of the universe, like during the Big Bang, that maybe there was a tiny imbalance between matter and antimatter. And, like, of course, when we're talking about science, when they say tiny, bitch, they mean fucking little. And by tiny dude, scientists like have actually calculated that for every billion antiprotons, there must have been a billion plus one normal protons. That's how much the imbalance had to be to account for all the matter that we see today in the universe. So, bitch, that's fucking crazy. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, I think that that is, one, an insane fucking small fucking number. And two, I mean, that's true, girl. Like, where is it? Like, where is all the fucking thing? And maybe your question might not be, where is it? But, like, okay, so then how was there an imbalance of matter? Like, how did there be a billion plus one regular protons over everything else? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, bitch. And, you know, scientists are still, they're testing their tests. They're seeing how, they're trying to learn more about antimatter. You know, we have these things called hadron colliders. I think they're called, like, the Large Hadron Collider is in fucking Europe or something. And I don't know if you guys have heard them, but pretty much what they are is these underground tubes that are huge. Like, the tubes are like, think of like a hula hoop, like the size of like a city. Like, that's how big they are. And pretty much what happens in these hula hoops is they get like a little proton, a little baby proton, and they shoot it in there. And pretty much as that little proton is shot in that little hula hoop, it's just going in circles over and over and over again, getting faster and faster and faster. And then what they do is they grab another little baby proton, and then I don't know if they put that one in the opposite direction or they just fucking put it in front of it, but pretty much what they do is that they get these two protons to collide with each other. And that blast is like them react, like the two protons hitting each other, that creates a little tiny explosion. And this is where they can make antimatter. They can make, like, I think you've heard, like, them making mini black holes and stuff. Like, that is all made in those little hadron colliders. And something that they do, well, something that always happens is antimatter is just always created whenever this happens. It's kind of like a byproduct. Kind of like, you know how plants, like, eat sunlight and, like, suck in like bad air and then like produce oxygen. Like, them producing oxygen is like a byproduct. It's more like a fart. It's not really, they're not benefiting from having oxygen. So they're like, get this bitch out of here. It's kind of the same with this. Whenever these two things are created, antiprotons just end up being made because that's just what happens. And, you know, when they touch regular, they just go back and explode again. So scientists, I think they have been able, with these little colliders, they, when they make these explosions, they kind of funnel all the little antiprotons out of there, and they put them in like this storage room or something, and they like actually have some antimatter. Like, you could, if you had the money, you could actually buy antimatter. So, like, I googled it, and the numbers range, all right, bitch. Like, she has the range. But this is just like an example of one of the things that kept coming up. If you wanted to buy some antimatter, 1 gram of antimatter, it's going to cost you $62.5 trillion. So that's a lot of money. And I don't know about you guys, but there are no trillionaires in the world. So 62.5 trillion to have 1 gram. Ugh, that's insane. That's crazy. That's like a lot of money. And it just kind of shows how rare it is and how hard it is for us to keep it. I mean, the fact that we're creating experiments where we're able to create them at this price is kind of insane. But it's really cool how we're investing a lot of money into this type of science, and it's actually helping us learn, because, I mean, who knows, guys? Maybe antimatter is, like, the hidden fucking, what's it called? Fucking fuel of the future, girl. I don't know. But, like, at this price, girl, it's not the fuel of the future. I'll tell you that right now. Because it is very dangerous. Another video that I saw was talking about how, like, a teaspoon of antimatter, the explosion would be so big that it would be the equivalent of 10 nuclear bombs. So, that's kind of bad. So, I don't know. That's kind of crazy. I don't know. Antimatter does exist. We don't see it. We don't know where it's at. We don't know what it interacts with. We don't know if it's there. We just don't know. But it exists. And I think it's really cool that they discovered in math. Like, I still don't really understand that. Like, how you can discover something in math. Like, bitch, it's just 1 + 1. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't understand that type of stuff. But I think it's cool that it was first discovered through math and then they saw it and now we're like storing it. Like I don't know. That's really cool. And it makes me wonder what other weird stuff is going on in the universe. Like, bitch, like we talked about fucking dark matter, bitch. Like it's heavy. It has its own gravitational pull, but we can't see it and it doesn't interact with normal matter. Like it's just so weird. And like dark energy, bitch, there's something fucking pushing this universe apart so fast that it's getting faster than fast on the fastest fast. Like, it's crazy. And now we have anti-stuff, like atoms that are the opposite of this. Like, imagine if we had anti-diamonds or anti-fucking penises, girl. Like, that'd be crazy. And I don't know. I think it's really cool. And I hope that these little science things have sparked some interest in your brain. Because I think I'm gonna lay off the space stuff for a bit and focus a little bit more on our bodies. I don't know. I'm gonna do something, bitch. Just fucking wait. Like, it's gonna be cool. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Au revoir.